and I kind of laid a foundation for the morning, this morning's message. This morning's message is what in the world went wrong? What went wrong? We find creation in Genesis chapter 1 and destruction in Genesis chapter 6. In six chapters, from the time God began to create till you come to chapter 6, he's destroying it. How and why? So to kind of lay a foundation, we went over to what David said in Psalm 12, and here's the problem. Help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail. Those are the problems of today. The godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail. Faithfulness. If you're able to return tonight for the evening service, wow. These visions of Zechariah get more interesting as we go along. And wow, tonight the flying roll. And I learned some things this week that the Holy Spirit taught me that I'd never seen before. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, we studied the program of God from Mark, the other side of Christmas that we normally don't think about. We celebrate that mainly at Easter time, but there's a reason he came, and that was for his program. And so Mark chapter 1 has to do with the program. He starts in the beginning, or with the beginning, and we find Christ about 30 years of age in Mark chapter 1. He was beginning his public ministry or his program. Then in Luke chapter 2, we saw his person. And you can't separate his person from his program. You can't separate them. It's impossible. And now today and next Sunday morning, we're going to deal with problems in the program. And it's not God. It's not God. Problems in the program. Today, we're going to look, what went wrong? What went wrong in the world? Next Sunday morning, what's going on in America? I'm going to preach it. It will not be taped. It will not be aired. It'll just be for our church family, our church folks. Today, what in the world went wrong? Next week, what in America has gone wrong? What's going on? Now, the godly man, that's the crux. That is the heartbeat of the problem. And very briefly, I'll touch on what I touched on in Sunday school. There's no problem with the program of God concerning his creation. There was a law in creation, and I often refer to this, that when God created, he had an order. God is a God of order. And everything was created after its kind. Everything was created after its kind, and everything was created for reproduction. And as it reproduced, it would reproduce exactly like what produced it. That's a law in creation. And that runs today just the same as it did when God created it. And you can't separate that law from his program. It's impossible. You do, and men do, and science does, when they separate the program from the person. And they completely discard the creator. They say, there is no creator. That's all fantasy. And they deny it. If you picked up a world history book, I wouldn't buy one. But if you picked up a world history book, creation starts in Genesis chapter 12. And they absolutely completely deny and annihilate the first 2,000 years of life on this earth. They just do away with it. They just say it didn't exist. They start creation in Genesis chapter 12. That's where they start creation. In the cradle, they call it. And the southern day modern Iraq. They say that's where creation began. And it began out of a big boom. And there was a bang. And now that bang came a species. And that species began to develop and evolve. And evolved until what we have today. It would have been better, if that's the truth, it would have been better to stay a species and not evolve at all. Because if this is what evolved from that species, just leave it with the bang and the species. But we all know that's fabricated fiction, and yet it's taught to these young people and this educational system as fact, and they're absolutely forbidden to say anything about creation. Ignore it. Totally annihilate. So what are they doing? They're taking the person completely out of the program. Now, as I said in Sunday school in closing, all of God's creation is running exactly the way He created it. Everything after its kind, the cycle, the solar system. I said in Sunday school this morning, Marie Nagel got a beautiful photo of what we call the Christmas star. Beautiful photo of it down in Florida. I didn't get up and go out to look because I was preparing for a procedure. So I didn't go very far from the house. But anyway, she got a beautiful picture. All the solar system is running just absolutely accordingly as to the way God created it. And the animal life, exactly the way created it. The marine life, the vegetable life, vegetative life. Everything exactly the way God created it. And everything's right on time, right accordingly as God created, except one identity. And that's man. He's the one that's out of order. Everything else is in order. Suppose the sun and the moon said, like man, there's no creator. We're going to do our own thing. Nobody put us here. Nobody set us up here. What if the stars took a same attitude as mankind has taken? And we wonder why this world is in the condition it's in. And we wonder why our country is in the condition it's in. As you exempt God from your heart, your home, your communities, from your country, and every aspect of it, there's one thing that'll fill that voidness, and I've said it hundreds of times, where good is gone, evil will fill its place. Every time. When you take good out, evil will replace it. And so that's why we have a world like we have it. And that's why we have a country the way we have it. Now, I'm going to be saying some things next Sunday. I want to try to keep these two messages side by side. And between this morning and next Sunday morning, wow, our message tonight from Zechariah. The flying robe, wow, it fits right in between these two messages, between the world and America. What's going on? What's happened? And that'll be tonight, the flying robe. There's no problem with the person of God. There's no problem with the program of God. Except man. That's the only problem. He's out of order. He's out of line. They are to reproduce after their own kind. That's a law. And the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail. Now, when Jesus was here on earth in his public ministry, and he was about to depart out of this world, he taught in Matthew and Luke that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be right before the return of the Son of Man. In other words, society, this world, is going to revert back to the type of activity and society that existed right before God destroyed everything he created. The only thing that existed was eight people and anything that was in that ark. And God had to take part of creation to build the ark. That's the only thing that existed. God destroyed everything he created. And at that period of time in Genesis 6, we have approximately 1,500 years. And then another 500 years from the flood to Moses. Approximately, somewhere. To a total of 2,000 years from the time of Abraham to Moses. Now, if you would turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. We looked at chapters 1 this morning, briefly. And we don't have a lot of detail. We have genealogies, but we don't have a lot of detail. A lot of detail in 1,500 years of life upon the earth. And remember, in this period of time from creation until destruction, in six chapters, man lived approximately 1,000 years, between 900 to 1,000 years old. They lived that long. After the flood, life was reduced drastically because man lived under a canopy. It was like a canopy, and the atmosphere was perfect and everything. But after the fall and then the flood, life plunged drastically. The thing I want you to notice, first of all, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, man had a time frame from God, and it was a warning. God is trying to get the attention, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time. And God is trying to get the attention of the world, and most certainly of America. Not many people listening. Noah not only built the ark, but the New Testament says he was a preacher of righteousness. And they mocked him, it says. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Lord said, "My Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "shall not always strive with man, for that he is also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." That's the only time in the program of God where God told man from the time he gave the warning until the time that judgment was going to come, God gave man a window, a time frame of that window, 120 years. That word strive means to wrestle. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we know in the New Testament that's what his job is to convict and to convince, to draw men to Calvary, to Christ, and so forth. But in this period of time, right before the flood, God sent a message, you've got 120 years, but I'm not going to strive with you any longer after that. You've got your opportunity, you've got your time, I'm giving it to you. No one paid any attention. No one. Except Noah and his family. That was it. And Noah had to put them in the ark. And Noah had to put the animals in the ark. Noah put animals in the ark for reproduction. And Noah put animals in the ark for sacrifice. They were all in the ark. And that's it. Everything else died. Isn't it amazing for us to understand in the first six chapters of Genesis, everything that God created, God destroyed, except six people, eight people, and part of the animal kingdom. That was for reproduction and for sacrifice. And he tells them, this is how much time you've got. Now, he never told us in the day we live today how much time we have. He never told us that. They asked Jesus about time frame, about a window, about so forth. He said, it's not given for you to know. He said, just be ready. Just be ready. It's not given for you. You don't need to know. Just be ready. That's all you need to know. But we do have the application, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be right before the return of the Son of Man, that society is going to revert back until that type of life and that type of lifestyle. So man was warned but paid no attention. Now, we don't have a window of time frame, but we have a window of signs. When you see such and such, when you observe such and such, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh. And so Jesus never gave us a window of time frame. He gave us a window of signs to look forward to look at. And know that when you see these signs, know it's close, even at the door. And as a preacher for nearly 43 years, I see the signs. I see the signs that he referred to that's before us. And people pay no attention. People pay no attention. I hope I'm wrong, but I expect in the new year to have a different strain of virus set loose on the world about every 2 months. I expect that. It's coming. One of the signs of the latter days is going to be pestilences. Pestilences. And pestilences, the word means diseases. Diseases is what it means. And that's one of the signs right before the return of the Son of Man. Diseases will be upon the earth, upon mankind. And they will be developed deliberately and set free. I told Rachel on the way to Columbus on Tuesday morning, I said, this virus has killed a lot of people. It's killed a lot of people I knew and a lot of my friends. Pastor friend that works with my ministry and overseas, his name, please pray for him. His name is Pastor Mundock. He has the virus. Very close friend. And he oversees the southern part of our ministry in Romania. A great pastor, a great preacher, great teacher, very knowledgeable. He's got the virus. We lost one of our student men in Moldova, not to the virus, but to cancer. People die. People die. And we're talking about, I don't know how many in the world, and I don't, over 600,000, I think, in America. I want you to try to wrap your mind around this. And I'm going to tell you, this is very difficult to wrap your mind around it. According to the book of Revelation, which is not a book of fiction, like many Bible teachers try to explain it. They do more work and effort trying to explain away than they do just to simply believe it by faith. But in 2 days in the book of Revelation, in 2 days, half of the world's population will die. In 2 days, half of the world's population will die. That's not fiction. That's not fiction. And today we are nearing 7 billion on this earth. So if half the population in 2 days, we're talking over 3 billion people dying on this earth. Massive. It's coming, folks. And we need to be preparing our hearts and our lives to meet Jesus. We need to be preparing our hearts and our lives to meet the Lord. It's coming. And I believe perhaps that we're going to be left here on this earth. We'll never meet the Antichrist. I don't even want to meet him or see him. I know the true Christ. I have no dealing with him. Bad enough to deal with the effects that he has. But I believe with all of my heart, according to the scriptures, we're living in the window of the signs being fulfilled before our very eyes. I've said it, and I say it again. There's no magical moment at midnight on New Year's Day. They may drop the ball in New York, and there may be great celebration, but there's no magical moment where everything's going back to normal. Things are going to progressively get worse. I know that sounds like doomsday preaching, and that sounds like pessimistic teaching. Listen, it's being done to prepare us to meet Christ. While the world's preparing to meet the false Christ, God may allow us to live on this earth where it becomes so hard to live, we will actually be praying, the Bible closes, even so come, Lord Jesus, get us out of here. I think I made a couple people a little upset Monday at the service over in Coshocton. In closing, I said, we live, and everybody sitting there, all you can see is 2 eyeballs. That's it. I said, years ago, we used to see on the television images coming out of Asia, and because of the smog and the unhealthy air, people walking up and down streets with masks on, and we used to say, wow, what a way to live. Now the first thing we grab out the door is our mask. A mask. And I said, I ask you in closing, who's better off, Barbara or you and I? Who's better off? She's now, she bore the earthly image. She's now bearing the heavenly image. And I say, she's in her new body. No diseases where she is, no mask where she is, no social distancing where she is. There's no chaotic atmosphere where she is. Who's better off, her or us? I believe this world is going to become so disruptive and so dangerous and so deadly that we're going to want out of here so bad we just can't wait to hear the trumpet sound to take us up and out of here. It's coming, folks. We're in the days. I've been preaching this for 3 or 4 years. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming. And look at the change that we've just went through in the last 8 years, the last 8 months, due to a normality. The normality changed after 9/11, but look at the normality that has changed just since March. And it's going to get worse. They can create vaccinations, but they can also, in the China labs, they can develop any kind of disease and set it free on the world that they want. And they're going to. Another strain has already hit England and other countries, and they are on absolutely total lockdown. And they're going to set another one loose, and then another one loose, and then another one loose. They're going to do this upon mankind. And I tell you today, get it under your head and get it under your heart and get prepared. Whoever controls the health controls the wealth. Get it. Whoever controls the health controls the wealth. And we better get ready, my friends. We're preparing. God said, I give you a window of time. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time. God never gave us a window of time because it didn't work then and it wouldn't work now. But I do give you a window of signs. It's a window of signs that you look for. We go on and live life the best we can, and we survive day after day the best that we can. We do the things that we can to try to survive. But at the same time, our hearts and our life needs to be preparing to meet the true Christ. Now, verse 5 of Genesis. There's the warning. Here's the society. And God saw. You don't think God has his eye on this world? Oh boy. God has his eye on this world. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That all came from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. You meet a creature in chapter 3, verse 1, where he came from. Where did he come from? When you look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, you find the serpent and you find his character. Subtle. Deceptive. And by the time you get over to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the whole earth is great in wickedness. And all you have in the middle is genealogies. You find him appearing, and then you find the corruption. Now, what happened? If you study the genealogy of Cain, which is in chapter 4, verse 16 through 24, then you find the genealogy of Adam down through chapter 5 all the way over to chapter 6. We know for a fact that the genealogy of Cain has not ceased. We know that as a fact. But when you come down to Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, all you have is Noah. That's it. All you have is Noah. Cain's genealogy mushroomed and prospered and filled the earth. But Seth, who replaced Abel's genealogy from Adam, it decreased and came down to just one man at the time of judgment. Noah and his family. That's it. And the wickedness upon the earth in verse 5. I'm trying to put this together, and next Sunday morning, we're going to put a whole lot more together as we see what is going on in America. And boy, tonight we'll lay the foundation, and I had not planned it, but tonight we'll lay the foundation for next Sunday morning. What was the wickedness of man in verse 5? God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That every imagination. What is an imagination? What is an imagination? As a Christian, you and I are to cast them down. I told somebody not long ago, an idle mind is the devil's playground. Every imagination. It's where we get the word imaginary. Imaginary. It's not real. It don't exist. It's just imaginary. It's something I have dreamed up. It's something I have concocted into my mind and my thought. It's not real. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. When Adam and Eve ate of that tree, there was two elements in that tree. Two. One was good, and the other one was evil. Two elements, good and evil. God never created man to have that knowledge. That's why he told man, stay away from that tree. They disobeyed under the serpent and the temptation of it. And he convinced man, he's subtle, he's deceptive. And he convinced man that they could eat and live, and God was a liar. And they believed it. They believed it. But they had both knowledge of good and evil. But when you come down through the centuries, that's between chapter 3 and chapter 6, and those genealogies, you've got a decline in the godly line to where you only have one man. When the judgment of God is coming, you only have one man. And yet, the populated earth, which comes from Cain, has got a society that every imaginary thought of their heart was only evil. Not one good thought. You want to live in a world like that? You want to live in a country like that where man's mind and imaginary thought process has absolutely not one good thought, only evil, and the word says continually. I don't want to be in a world like that. I don't want to be around people like that. I don't want to be in a society like that. And God saw what has developed over a few hundred centuries, how he gained the knowledge of both good and evil, but until the time, two things happened. Until the time of Genesis 6, the godly line had deceased and decreased down to only one man, and society had totally corrupted to where man's mind absolutely had no good in his conscience. His mind was only evil continually. And I am tempted to go to Zechariah, but I'll wait till tonight. Why does it ever fit right in this here? So we're living in the last days, friends. And I say this world is going to become so evil. You think it's evil today? This is a Sunday school picnic. And it's going to be, how much has your life changed since March where you can't enjoy what you did a year ago? Huh? Just in 1 year, how much has changed in this country that you can't enjoy today? And it's only going to progressively get worse and worse and worse. Verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Through the fall in Genesis 3, man obtained both elements of good and evil. But after several hundred centuries, there was only evil and not good. And the godly seed, the godly line, had decreased down through. And you can read the genealogy there. And men walked with God. Enoch walked with God. There was a spiritual fiber there. Noah walked with God. But when you come down to the time when God says, that's it. That's it. That's it. There is no good. There is no good. When man comes to the point when all of his thought and his life and character and conduct is only evil continually, God says, I'll wipe you off. I'll wipe you out. And that is absolutely total decay. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. I'm sorry I ever made them. Look what it turned out to be. And the beautiful of it. When God created in Genesis 1 and 2, and at the end of each day, it says, and God saw, and it was good. And then second day, God saw, and it was good. Third day, and God saw, and it was good. And God saw, and it was good. And then to conclusion, God saw, and it was very good. Very good. And he come to man and saw man, he said, not good. Not good. Not good. So man, left to himself, comes to self-destruction. You wonder what's wrong with America? It's decaying. It's self-destruction. It's self-destruction. You can't enjoy life like you once did. And it's only going to get worse. We're going to have a little discussion as soon as we finish the message here this morning. We'll pick up from there next Sunday morning as we zero in on America. But here is the answer for today. As we symbolize, as Jesus did, these days and this society compared to the time right before he comes. That society in verse 5, and God saw it. I want you to also notice in verse 10. Let me see. I'm sorry, not verse 10. Verse 11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Diseases and violence are two of the main signs of the end time. Diseases and violence. And it doesn't say the earth had violence in it. It said the earth was filled. The earth was filled with violence. Do you feel safe today? Ann and I had a little incident on Wednesday night. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm on the air. But we had a little incident going home in church Wednesday night to where I finally got my vehicle where I could floor it. And I floored it, and I was going, sorry, Chief, I was going about 80, 90 mile an hour on Carlisle Road. And by the time I got to my driveway, I switched the lights off and went up in and parked, and her and I hid behind the building. It's an awful day. It's an awful day. It's an evil day where you don't feel safe anymore, not only health-wise, but for your own physical being. Your own physical being. It's a crazy day. The earth is filled with violence. No thought of good, only evil. And the answer for all that, my friend, is this in verse 8. But Noah found grace. but no found grace. That's the only good. That's the only good in the entire history before the flood. The only good was God. The solar system continues to run right on schedule. The vegetation right on schedule. You can mark it down if we're still here in March, in time, around the 1st of May. Those leaves are going to start coming right back out just like they're supposed to do. The grass is going to get green. The leaves will come on and they'll be green. Everything runs exactly the way it's supposed to do. The animal kingdom is running exactly the way it's supposed to do. Everything is right according to the way it was created, except man. And it's out of control. And I hate to be a doomsday preacher at the end of this year, but we've had a doomsday year facing not a magical moment, but we're facing a worse year next year. And you better get ready for it. And get out of la-la land. Facebook friends, this is no joke. This is the real world. And it's a different world, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I sent something to someone last night, and they sent back LOL. And I didn't pick up on it. I just let it drop. We better start taking things serious. Better take things serious. But Noah found grace. Noah found grace. You and I, as we face these end times and as we face the turbulent times and the perilous times that are coming, as we're living the generation of these days, grace. It's the grace of God. And we're in Christ. That old ark is a picture of Christ. If you're in it, you're safe and secure, as that ark is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. But not everybody that, this is my concern, people that profess but don't possess. And they don't possess because there's been no change in their life. There's been no change in their life. Just to say, I'm saved, doesn't mean a thing. You can profess and never possess. Make sure you're in grace. Make sure you're in grace to escape what's coming. My friend on Facebook, make sure you are in grace, because what's coming, this is child play today compared to what's coming. This is the preliminaries. We've had several trial runs from China. Several trial runs. And to see what would happen and what would it do. And they learned one thing. Health controls wealth. Health controls wealth. Now, tonight, believe it or not, this next vision we're going to study tonight, the flying roll. Wow, fits right in here. And in preparation for next Sunday morning, as we see next Sunday morning, what's going on in America? That's our next Sunday morning's message. I've kind of reworked it, reshaped it, redone it in some ways, but it's going to be the heartbeat. It's coming out of the Bible. What's going on in America? Make sure you're in grace. Make sure you're in grace. No matter what happens, as I said over at the funeral on Monday, we're better off. We're far better off. When life comes to the point where I can't enjoy life, better to be with Jesus. Better to be with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Before we pray, Facebook friends, we're going to be disconnecting with you at this time. Thank you for connecting with us. Beautiful Sunday morning today. And thank you for connecting with us. We'll be back streaming live tonight at approximately 6:15. So until then, stay safe, blessed, and we thank you for being with us this morning. All right, before I pray, I'm going to take a little survey. I said in the Sunday school class we would just call everybody this week, but I'm just going to take a